Good morning. In the interest of time, I'll try to start on time. It is now, of course, 9 o'clock, and this is January 29th, 2009. And we have, I would like to note that we have members, Senator to my left, Senator Pascvan, and then to my right would be Senator Hollis French in attendance, as well as myself, Senator Menard. So with that, we have before us a Senate Bill 36 sponsored by Senator Terrio. Members should also have a copy of the committee substitute. My intent is to hear the bill today and move it from committee, and that's a possibility since we have a quorum. Is there anyone at the LIO offices online to testify? Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the committee substitute as a working document?
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay, thank you. Member Senator French has made a motion to adopt a committee substitute as a working document. Seeing no objection?
No objection.
The committee substitute is adopted as a working document. Senator Terrio, allow the record to reflect that Senator Myers has now joined us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Would you please come forward to present your bill to the committee and speak to the committee substitute? Thank you, Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My staff and I have been involved in identity theft legislation for 6 or 7 years now, and with the passage last year of Representative Coghill's overall comprehensive piece of legislation, this is what I believe is the next step in assuring the Alaska citizens that data that is collected not only by private businesses but by the state government is controlled in such a way that their information cannot be used to cause them ultimate harm. I requested an audit a couple of years ago after really delving into identity theft, looking into the identity theft issue with private businesses, but growing concerned that also, just like private businesses, there were the fact that the state of Alaska was perhaps one of the largest data collectors in the state, and wanting to make sure that the state government afforded the citizens every protection that we were going to impose on the private sector. And so based on that, I requested an audit was in the queue for quite some time, but when it did come back, it showed that the state did have some of its systems that needed work as far as protection of people's information. So this legislation has been drafted up with the recommendations of the head auditor for the legislature and also the Department of Administration. The intent is to strengthen the statutes and to clarify that the duty and responsibility for implementation of security standards related to information systems within the executive branch is clearly vested with the Department of Administration. The Department of Administration then has the authority to set the security policy and monitor the implementation and adherence to those policies of the different branches of the executive. Also, we want to make clear that administration has the powers to review and report the effectiveness of those policies as they are implemented in the different branches and make reports back to the legislature periodically. By clarifying the department's statutory authority to implement the security policy for the state data processing framework, the department will have the clear ability it needs to implement that policy. It will have a number of state and federal laws that require citizens to give we have a number of state and federal laws that require citizens to give personal information to the government. How we protect that information is of great concern and importance to them. Now, having worked on this for a great deal of time, personally identifiable information, sort of the definition of that is when you have a name, an address, a phone number, and it's combined with a Social Security number, Alaska driver license number, or another ID number, credit card number, debit card number, account password, or a PIN. A combination or different combinations of those bits of information is what can be used by a scammer or identity theft. thief to take over somebody's identity and cause them economic damage. Some examples of the state systems that contain that kind of data: workers' comp, unemployment insurance, child support and custody, PFD, driver's license, student loan financial information, fish and game records, teacher certification files, retirement, the Alaska pay system, health insurance system, occupational licensing, voter registration. Our auditor tells us that within state government there are roughly 642 information systems that capture that kind of data. And the number of these systems that capture and store personal data that meets the definition of PII, and that is those bits of information that can be cobbled together, there are over 200 of them in the state government. So based on that, we have, again, worked with the auditor, the recommendations of the auditor, and the Department of Administration to come up with the suggested language that is in the working document before you. And if I could just walk you through that quickly. Section 1 of the bill is largely conforming, starting there on page 1, line 7. You can see it just adds into the section of statutes that tells the state archivist what information they have and how they need to treat it. And you see there on line 12, it says subject to 4421.165. That's a new section of statute that is being proposed. So the state archivist would have to fall in line with that new section of statute. Section number 2, which starts down at the page of bottom of page 2, talks about the duties of the chief executive officer for the state of Alaska. And again, you can see we're adding language to an existing set of statutes that said, again, subject to this new section of statute that will be added later in the bill. Section 3 of the bill starts really the new language. It's down on the bottom of page 3 on line 25. And you can see it's adding a new section that that clarifies the Commissioner of Administration is, in fact, the chief information officer for the state of Alaska. So we're making that very clear distinction. And then section 4 down at the bottom of the page is the new section, security records, and talks about how the security records are to be handled and protected. That is the meat of the bill, the section that was drafted up in conjunction with input from the state auditor and representatives from the Department of Administration. So with that, Madam Chairman, if you've got questions, you or members of the committee have questions, I can certainly try to answer them, or my staff, Heather Brakes, or we do have the chief auditor here and also representative from the Department of Administration. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Terrio. Would the record please reflect that Senator Kukash has joined us?
Right on time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And is there any members that have any question of the senator? And specifically, Senate Bill 36. Mr. Myers.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. Senator Terrio, how is this policy going to be enforced or maintained throughout the state of Alaska through all the different agencies?
I think perhaps Mr. Brooks would be the best person to recommend that. But what we're trying to put into place here is a set of standards and clear distinction that the Department of Administration, and specifically the commissioner, is the one that sets those policies. We're not leaving it up to each agency and each division to come up with, you know, what records they think need to be protected, how they think they need to be protected. We're looking for standardization across all the agencies. And then the Department of Administration would work with the different agencies and divisions to make sure that within their own operation, they put together a process to meet that policy. And then periodically, there would be reports back to the legislature so that we would know whether, in fact, well, not only we would know, but the Department of Administration would know, in fact, whether that policy, the different agencies are coming up to meet that basic threshold.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You say we'll get periodic reports. Is this a yearly thing you're anticipating? Or
I think Section 5 actually speaks to that. The first report is due on January 1st of the fifth calendar year after this act, it takes effect.
Page 4, yeah. Subsection E.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, see, up here, I'm sorry, in on page 4, line 19, it talks about the legislature getting a report that evaluates every 2 years, but the first one would not be due for a number of years. So it would give the agencies quite a bit of time to come up to the standard that is set.
Very good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from any of the members? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Senator Terrio.
Thank you.
And are there other folks? We have Ed Sniffen here from the Department of Law that has signed up. Oh, I'm sorry, he's online.
He's available to answer questions.
Chairman, I am here to answer questions if the committee has any. And with that, I will stand by for any follow-up.
Okay, I would defer to the other members. Does anyone have any questions?
If I could just ask one question.
Okay, Senator Passavant.
Yes, how long do you anticipate it would take to put together regulations that would attempt to implement this law?
Through the chair, is that a question directed toward the Department of Law?
Correct.
Yes, thank you. I would have to defer that to the Department of Administration. Generally, these regulation projects that I've been involved in take anywhere from, you know, 6 months to a year, depending on the urgency and the resources available within the agency. But I think Mr. Brooks would be in a better position to answer that.
Okay, thank you. And he is in the audience, and if I can, I'll invite him up, please. State your name and your affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kevin Brooks. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Administration. Appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to SB 36 in direct response to the question. A reg package, as Assistant Attorney General Sniffen indicated, it's not a short process. They tend to take time. There's public comment period. We would not need a reg package, though, to proceed with many of the things that are in the bill, and also continue with ongoing efforts that we have in the area of security. So I would see those as proceeding on a parallel track, not waiting for a reg package to begin implementation if this bill became law.
Okay, thank you. Senator French.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and hi, Kevin. How are you? We've heard from the bill sponsor about what he thinks the bill will do. Maybe you could just, for the record, tell us from your perspective, from the Department of Administration, what you think the bill will do.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator French. I'd like to put on the record that we do support the legislation. I think it's a logical progression and continuation of efforts started in HB 65 that passed last year. Security of data that the state collects is something that's been on the forefront for us for a number of years, and the legislature has appropriated money to us to, you know, to strengthen the state security systems. We appreciate too, and we've worked with the staff to the sponsor to amend the language to clarify the state's IT infrastructure didn't just occur. It's been incremental over the last 20 or so years or more. And so the data, and there was a long list described, that there are so many databases and data that the state collects, and each department is, you know, responsible for that data. We think it is a prudent approach that it clearly distinguishes the Commissioner of Administration as the CIO for the state. We currently have statutory authority over data processing and telecommunication functions. And this will enable us to set some standards and protocols for the state agencies to follow. We have a state security office now, and that stays abreast and interacts with other states on security matters. So I think the approach is a good one. We also have a governance structure that includes the IT managers for each of the state agencies. We have working groups with them and come together to, you know, discuss and deliberate on, you know, what is the best standard for the state, and some of the things where the entire state has gone to a Microsoft Exchange platform for state email, where we previously had five separate systems and those kinds of things. So we have groups that are functioning now, and so this is, I think, a good logical progression to that effort.
Follow-up question, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is there anything in the bill that will begin to eliminate or cause these separate data silos to be integrated any better? That's an interest of mine, is to get an increased ability of those databases to talk to one another.
Through the chair, Senator French, the bill itself doesn't require that, but that effort is ongoing now. For instance, we have standards. If you're going to do a database, you need to use like a SQL Server based database or an Oracle database. So the efforts are in place now to really get that integration. It doesn't contemplate, and in fact, an earlier version, the original version of the bill, you could have read that to mean the state should build a super data farm and put all of its servers in one place. And if you're starting today, you might approach it in that manner. But recognizing that we have servers and data repositories all over the state and all departments, I think this is a prudent approach, as I indicated earlier.
Thank you. And just last question. Have there been breaches of the state's databases? Have we had hackers stealing personal information from state databases?
Through the chair and Senator French, there have been. And as I'm told by our security office, every day we have attempts. Most notably, we did have a breach in February of 2005. And I think that was the single event that 4 years ago that really kind of brought focus to the issue. And there's just really been a data explosion for the state and any large organization that's, you know, doing business. But so we have had them. There have not been, I guess, severe breaches where personal data on individuals has gone out. But the attacks occur daily. They're becoming more sophisticated. It's not just somebody in their garage, you know, playing on a computer. Often they can be government to government. And so we need to be diligent in our efforts on that.
Senator Pascavan.
Yes. If there were to be a breach, is there a protocol in place that the person's information that was stolen, that they would be notified?
Through the chair and Senator Pascavan, that yes, there is. And HB 65 set those protocols in place for notification and, you know, what needs to happen in the event of a breach. And that was legislation that just passed last year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam
Commissioner,
Chair.
Deputy Commissioner. I'd like to afford the opportunity to Pat Davidson, if he would like to come up and maybe answer any questions about that, or she, about the legislative audit that took place. And just from your perspective, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. As the bill sponsor indicated, we were asked by the Budget and Audit Committee from a request from Senator Terrio to conduct an audit on state security issues, particularly as it relates to PII, personal identifiable information. This is the first of a two-part audit, in which case we are looking at the governance structure associated with the state security. The second phase of the audit is we've selected two individual systems to do additional testing on it. As the sponsor indicated, the recommendations in this bill are parallel with some of the concerns that we had. We found that the governance structure across state government was not very strong. The State Security Office was getting a little pushback from some of the departments with regard to establishing standards. System security is one of those things that goes across departmental silos. You get in one place, you find the weakest access point, you get in, and then you can wander around in there. And so, while a weak point may be at, this is the first, for instance, no audit to support for this, but if you have a weakness in the Department of Transportation, you are vulnerable. Databases in the Department of Health and Social Services may be vulnerable. from that penetration. So it is very an important statewide issue that needs to be dealt with on a comprehensive basis. Additionally, it's not addressed here, but putting Department of Administration in charge we thought was a good idea. One of the things we did the auditor version of dumpster diving, and basically we went to the sixth floor of the state office building and a few other locations and looked to see what sort of information people were putting out for recycling. We found payroll records, we found medical records, we found astonishing things. And what was actually more disturbing is when we took that information back to the agency, they gave us blank looks, like, well, what's the problem? We're just recycling it. So that whole concept of raising security awareness, consciousness, is something that also has to go along, and that has to also be a statewide effort. Because any IT folks you're talking to, they'll understand it so well. But if you're talking to an administrative assistant who's just trying to gather up the recycling, they don't have that in the forefront of their consciousness. This has to be an integrated training process. And so I think setting those standards, moving it forward, is really an important thing in state government.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator House.
Maybe I could ask Ms. Davidson, because she's kind of highlighted for me a real-world application for the bill, and I really appreciate it. It helps me sort of make – it's a little bit opaque sometimes, these subjects, and this has made it concrete. But as I'm looking at page 4 and the obligations that the bill imposes upon the department, you know, section B on line 6 says the department shall, and then gives a series of shalls, and maybe I'm missing a something, but it looks like it's all focused on data processing records. You know, it says you shall development policies to ensure data process records are secure from unlawful release, et cetera, et cetera. And those are records that are produced or maintained by the automatic data processing resources and activities of the state agency. Would that include the types of records you were just describing, the records that you see in a payroll record or a health record that you find in a recycle bin outside the state office? Are those different?
Through the chair, Senator French, it will be a combination of both. Some of those are printouts from data that's been collected. Payroll records are going to be paper output from the payroll system. Some of them are going to be emails, things that we saw that had people put in emails that really had a lot more information in it than should be. But I think that as we were evaluating the state security office discussion of that, again, IT folks know that that's important, and the more authority you vest in somebody and responsibility, I think you're going to see that taken up as more as an issue, maybe not directly as it's related here, because we are talking about just data processing records. But I think the security consciousness will start raising.
If I may, Senator. Madam Chair, thank you. I guess my question is whether we shouldn't make that a little broader. This is our opportunity to sort of tell the administrative clerk not to throw out a payroll record or an email that has, because just below the definition of data processing records, on line 26 of page 4 is the idea that really I think most of us are worried about, and that's records that includes personally identifiable information in the record. And that's really what we're trying to get at. It strikes me that you're trying to keep those, you know, obviously sort of dangerous pieces of information about me or any other citizen from being put out in a recycle bin outside a state office.
Through the chair, Senator French, I'm sure that's more a question to the sponsor of the legislation. I'm not sure, however, for security conscious awareness, raising that awareness, I don't know that you necessarily need laws about that. You just need to put it into practice. But I would more let the sponsor address that issue.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll yield to the sponsor, Senator Terrio, if you wanted to.
Madam Chair, before we switch, may I ask a question?
Certainly. I'm sorry. I apologize for not asking if there was other members that had questions.
Actually, though, Senator Terrio may have to answer this, but it looks like in the original bill, you did ask for an audit to be done every 2 years, but now in the CS, it just says a legislative report. So I don't know if that's one of the same. But for you specifically, Pat, when you do an audit, how do you do an audit? I mean, are you going to have to jump in the dumpster every 2 years and see what they're throwing away, or how are you going to conduct an audit to make sure we're in compliance?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the current version that I have of the bill doesn't refer to an audit, just an evaluation,
right.
And it's one that's done by the Department of Administration. So it is not one that would be for the audit division to do.
Okay. I will ask a question of the sponsor, because the original bill did ask for an audit. And again, I don't know if that would have been you or somebody else, but okay. Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you. Are there any other questions before Pat leaves? Okay. Senator Terrio, would you come forward, please, again?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and a couple of good questions. First to Senator Meyer, the issue of changing from audit to an evaluation and a report, we had some discussion with Pat about that, and, of course, an audit speaks to, you expect certain things when you use the word audit. Very rigorous according to a certain protocol. We know from budget and audit, you get in line, it might, you know, be 6 or 8 months before your turn comes up, and the audit could take a year. That wasn't the type of thing that we necessarily wanted the department to do. We want the department to put together a report on how closely the policies are being followed. Now, that does not preclude, though, legislative budget and audit going back, any member or the chairman going back and asking for a full-blown, you know, audit from outside of the executive branch. You know, our audit shop is outside, going in and doing a review periodically. But we just didn't think that the expense that entails was something that we wanted to happen every 2 years, especially when a full-blown audit can take a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that just that report and then the legislature's continued ability to do a full-blown audit probably would cover things. Then with regard to Senator French's question, I think if you look the beginning of Section 4, but it's up actually the top of page 4, line 2 and 3, it says, is the state agency responsible for ensuring the security of the non-archive records produced from those databases? So as Pat indicated, most of the things that they would have found, you know, in a trash can or recycling dumpster are reports that were produced from those electronic silos, as people call them now today. So I think we have probably got the language in here that covers the concern that he's expressed.
Is it satisfactory? Are there any other questions of the senator? Yes, Senator Meyer.
If I may, and I have to remember I'm not on the Finance Committee anymore, but your assumption is that the departments will be able to just absorb this additional work, these reports and evaluations, without any additional cost?
Yes, in fact, I believe in your packet the department has prepared a zero fiscal note, but if you have some specifics on that, Mr. Brooks perhaps
no.
would be the one.
No, I'm aware it's a zero fiscal note, but I just wanted to make sure that was your intent, that this wouldn't be an extra cost or burden,
yes.
But it would be something that each agency would just absorb.
Yes, and as Mr. Brooks mentioned, the department has an effort underway, and in fact, when House Bill 65 passed last year, it was connected with a $2 million fiscal note. So they needed to get some software that's underway, and they've already had an ongoing agency process to start working this direction. It just wasn't consistent across all agencies. And again, as Mr. Brooks indicated, there was actually some resistance from some of the state agencies. And the example that was used, if you're expressing a concern of somebody getting access to individual Alaskans' medical records. The person in DOT thinks, well, what does that have to do with me? But as has been indicated, if that's where the infiltration takes place, then the person can run amok within the state system and get to somebody's personal records.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Senator Theriault. And I'd like an opportunity to go to Ed Stiffen from Department of Law that's online, if you had any comments at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Ed Stiffen, Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law. And I am here today primarily to answer questions, but I think this is a good effort. And identity theft, as everyone knows, has become a serious problem across the country, and we see a lot of that in the consumer protection section that I work in, and any efforts we can make to help secure this kind of information will certainly go a long way toward curbing those practices. So I think the legislation is a good idea. But if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Your comments are appreciated. Is there anyone else wishing to testify? Then we'll go to committee discussion. Is there anyone here at the table that would like to have? I just an observation from Pat that as an awareness piece, as legislators, we can help to maybe make sure we have our offices have shredders and that we do our part too just in our own personal Senate offices. So I would encourage members to have, like I said, the shredders. Seeing no further discussion, the chair would entertain a motion.
I would move to advance the, I guess it's a committee substitute for Senate Bill 36.
It's individual recommendations.
Individual recommendations.
And attached fiscal.
Attached fiscal.
Zero fiscal. Yeah.
What I second his motion.
Okay, we'll go ahead then and move Senate Bill 36 from committee. Seeing nothing more to come before the meeting, we are adjourned.
All right, good job.